This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
Joy
94.9. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it. Code it, jam and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch it, date it, name it, read it.
Good afternoon, this is Technogaze here on Joy 94.9, the show where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. My name is Mark, and with me in the studio is Jason.
Oh my god, I get to go second. Yeah. that was a bit of an overreaction. We're Boffin Central as well, aren't we?
We love to
so
be.
So I heard.
Yeah. We are the Boffins of Joy 94.9. There are maybe a couple other shows that could potentially be nipping at our heels in that respect, but we are the Boffins.
I don't know. There's something about using the word boff to describe Technogaze. We also have Michael. Michael, say
yes.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm pushing buttons again.
Michael's
pushing everyone's buttons.
No, Mark. Don't say it.
Have we got any jokes for... No, we shouldn't go there. Also in the studio is Raina. Hello, Raina.
Howdy.
How are we today?
Sleepy, but pretty good. Pretty good. It's been a long week.
That's true. I am very sleepy as well.
And it's so foggy still here in beautiful mid-city Melbourne.
Yes.
That's possibly just pollution.
I don't know.
I hope it's not.
I'm not from here. I don't know how polluted the city gets anymore.
Yes. So what have we got up for the show today, of course, where we talk about technology, gadgets and consumer electronics? Let me just swap over to that tab.
This is us all opening the run sheet at once.
Let's
stall a minute while our computers catch up with us. We're talking about internet freedom oppression.
We are.
Right.
With further chilling activity by the Russian government in Russia and also over to Ukraine as well, which is a bit scary.
Which is basically now Russia, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's topical.
Movement in the Australian business space. Telstra announced big plans to buy a US company for $270 million.
It's the reverse IT tech gobble.
Yeah.
Reverse gobble.
Yeah. It's the re-gobble.
Sounds like a dance.
It does, actually.
And also JB Hi-Fi blaming a certain US company for its lackluster share performance.
A certain fruit-themed
company.
Yeah. Oh, that damn BlackBerry.
Why? Aren't they selling well?
Gosh, I can't think why.
Actually, what we should do is put up the photo of the new BlackBerry telephone, smartphone, whatever you want to call it, on our Facebook page, because it's amazing.
Really?
I think you need to be a giant to hold it. It looks very wide.
Yeah, but people have said that about, like, oversized Android phones for a while as well. You actually don't.
Yeah, but this one looks huge. Well, we should get one in.
Can I just point out as well, now, I was watching a new ABC TV show called Utopia during the week.
Right.
Rob Sitch and the Working Dog team.
Oh, nice, yeah.
This background drum beat, they've stolen it.
Really?
Yes. Really?
Do you mean that we both got it from the same stock audio library?
Yes,
I used to get really annoyed, and I still do, every time an episode of a certain famous UK science fiction show used a clap of thunder. It was the same clap of thunder every time. And I would tweet about how much it annoyed me that it would be the same clap of thunder every time. And then the following year, they just stuck it in the opening credits. So as people's names appeared, it's the same thunder clap every time. And I'm like, thanks. The BBC is trolling me.
Oh, and that's where the drum beat ends. Oh, perfectly timed.
Yeah. Just as I'm getting trolled.
Well, gender diversity in tech rates are mentioned this week as well. So we'll be talking about a few companies who have talked or released information about their diversity, as they often do around this time of year. One of course of those companies is Apple, with hardly surprising.
It's a good thing that we said Apple then, and we disguised them as a certain US-based fruit company a minute ago.
Yeah, the entire show is not about Apple. We try to avoid that. Some new tech rates mentioned towards the end of the show. Some USB spec changes happening.
Oh, boy. Finally, yes. Party.
Oh, I'm going to enjoy talking about that, yeah. I actually just went weak at my knees and nearly fell off the chair.
For those who don't know, that was sarcasm out of Rainer's voice, but it was actually,
adoration out of mine.
Actually, no, what I am excited about is that you can finally remove and replace USB without having to worry about which way up the plug is pointing.
You can't yet.
No, but this new one is talking about doing that.
Yeah, but it's a proposal. Anyway, look, I think we've started talking about it now. Maybe we should just go and do it.
No, let's stick to the run sheet. We try to keep things in an orderly fashion here. Now, while I'm thinking about it as well, you can text us in the studio if you want to talk to us. 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949 is the number to text us on. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. We do like to get emails and texts from you while we're talking, because it
encourages us.
Oh, it's great to hear from you.
Yeah. And you can also call us if you're vocally inclined. You can do that. You could ask maybe your friendly phone assistant to convert your voice into text, or you can ask a Joy volunteer to do the same thing.
No, we would like the voice to text conversion, please. That's much more fun.
It's not if it's on my Android Wear watch.
But there is
it is fun.
There is a number you can talk to us here at Joy on 1300JOY949. That's 1300 569 949.
Yes.
First up, internet oppression. It's happening.
It's hideous.
It's continuing. Mm. It's continuing in Russia.
So public Wi-Fi users in Russia are now being requested or required, in fact.
Requested in the...
requested? No, strongly requested.
Can you do your Russian accent, please, Jason?
This is very, very nice internet. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
Oh, my God.
It's not mandatory if you don't want to use the internet.
Right, exactly, exactly. But if you do want to use the internet, then papers, please.
Well, basically, if you want to use any sort of open Wi-Fi, then you have to identify yourself with
your full name and your passport or your driver's license.
Yeah, some sort of
number.
User ID number, yeah. But the good thing is, or the bad thing, is that the person that's offering the hotspot has to keep that information for 6 months.
6 months? Yeah. Wow. There's an actual data retention policy that is stipulated,
including
as opposed to
fumbled. The hardware identifier of the device that is connecting onto the network. So I assume something like the MAC address.
So I'm interested in the language that says that an open Wi-Fi hotspot, if you run an open one. So if you password protect your Wi-Fi hotspot, is that okay now?
Because
if you just give people the password?
Well, there is some confusion because they talk about public hotspots, but part of the confusion is that there's an interpretation that says only hotspots made available by the postal service, whereas other people are saying, no, it's any sort of hotspot, like you go to a local cafe and you can jump on the Wi-Fi there, then you've got to do it.
It's an interesting collision of ideologies, isn't it? Where you have essentially what would be a background of socialist attitudes, i.e. providing internet for all through a postal service offering Wi-Fi, to then actually we control everything as well, which I guess is two sides of socialism, really.
I suppose,
when you think about it. Mm. I wonder if that's... A bit, I don't know. I'm not going to visit Russia anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
So what about the Ukraine?
Oh, yes. They're restricting internet freedom by, what are they doing? Allowing authorities to block websites.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only websites, TV, radio and the internet can be restricted or blocked without the need for a court order.
Really?
Yeah.
So just click a button, yep. They're done.
Yeah, government. This is a nice TV station. It would be a shame if something happened to it.
Now, it's not law yet, but it's been fast-tracked through Parliament and it's expected to go through very soon.
It's been fast-tracked. It's like our TV series coming from the States.
Yes.
We've fast-tracked it so that you can get your legislation passed in just 5 hours after it was coming out of the US.
You can BitTorrent the legislation.
Now, it's worthwhile knowing, of course, that there's a lot of civil unrest going on there as well. Mm. So this is pretty bad in that it's, you know, there's obviously a lot of amazing stories that could come out of the Ukraine about things that are happening, and we may never know what they are. And
that's right.
The Reporters Without Borders chief called Yoan Beer, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Says that it's actually pretty upsetting. Mm. I think it is.
Yeah, it's really concerning when they when such a situation is happening in a jurisdiction and they're actually removing rights as a result, which is essentially what's happening.
Yep.
This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where we're covering some of the latest in technology, gadgets and consumer electronics. We'll be back with more in a few moments.
TechnoGaze.
Telstra.
Right.
They have made the news this week, and I thought it was actually quite a big story myself. $270 million was spent by Telstra to buy a US-based video platform.
Mm.
Yes.
Called Ooyala.
Ooyala.
And yep. I should say that's US 270, which actually translates to about 291.
Oh, Telstra's so, like, they're just not really playing by Australian rules anymore. They're not even going to issue Australian dollars in their press releases now. It's like, yeah, see you suckers, we're in the US now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? So it's a really, like, from my recollection anyway, it's one of the biggest tech buys from an Australian company to a US company, would you say?
It does. I mean, we've been thinking about this, so we've been trying to think of, you know, any other examples. I think the only other examples we could come up with was Atlassian acquiring a few products like Bitbucket and things like that. Atlassian's a fairly big player in the IT scene in Sydney.
Mm.
I've got a lot of friends who've either worked for Atlassian or will work for Atlassian or are currently working for Atlassian. It's like a clearing house for Sydney's IT community.
But you know as well that Atlassian was talking about, and I can't remember if they actually did do it or not, but they were planning to move
I think they moved their corporate structure to either to the US or some other country because was better. But I think the main work was still happening
over
here.
Internet censorship laws that were happening a couple of years ago.
I think
they were saying that if that came in, then they would uproot and move.
I heard it was also towards the fact that in Australia, in terms of startups and being taxed and being given incentives and shares and stuff, that it wasn't as lucrative for people as it was in the US.
Yeah, and I heard that there is a little bit of concern about our labour laws not being quite as permissive for the boss as maybe they are in the US, which I don't think is really cool, to be honest.
But back on Telstra, though, I mean, move to buy... It's a video platform.
So I actually used to work for a competitor, and we were kind of worried when Ooyala started making moves into the Australian market. Mm. And it seems like they were helped along the way with that because Telstra actually already owns 23% of the company. So apparently they liked the milk so much that they bought the cow.
I love the analogy. And so that puts Telstra in a very interesting position because they have divested themselves of Foxtel now. So perhaps they're looking at other ways to push media out to their users other than through a Foxtel service.
Yeah, and they're sort of picking up some good clients as well. So at the moment, Ooyala's clients include Arsenal Football Club.
Right.
Dell, so not that I go onto the Dell website an awful lot to watch video, but I guess they have some. But Fairfax Media, so if you jump on the Age or the Sydney Morning Herald websites and you watch any of their videos, that's coming off of there. They've got that Age TV offering there as well, where they sort of offer TV shows and things.
Telstra, of course, also has its T-Box offering, which streams things. Now that's the kind of thing that Ooyala would be perfect at supplying the bandwidth and the video smarts for
and the relationships with the clients as well. Mm.
Yeah, so Telstra have bought into other companies before, and as well as divesting themselves of Foxtel, I think they've divested out of their Hong Kong telco investment.
Have they?
I read something about that the other day.
I thought that they still. Maybe they've actually just given them the rights to use the name in Hong Kong. Cause I thought there was definitely still a Telstra presence in Hong Kong. Not sure. But yeah, so it is actually kind of surprising as you travel around the world, seeing where the name Telstra actually pops up.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, is this the first time, do you think, that Telstra have bought a company like this outright rather than just taking an interest in it?
I think it's probably one of the largest case. I mean, it's, like we were saying, it's the largest case that we can really think of in Australian technology, so it's probably the largest one that Telstra's taken part in as well.
They were looking at buying out a couple of ISPs and things, but that's not really the same thing, I guess.
I suspect they'd have have some sort of regulatory oversight issues to concern themselves with.
What, the ACCC and
TIO, perhaps?
Yeah.
They were all over it.
They're in a good position, though, and I mean, they've done very well in terms of their share price over the past 5 years, and they're definitely their dominance in the market has kind of stayed at where it has been for quite some time. So it's not surprising that they are looking overseas.
Mm.
They're also talking about, like in business terms, you know, talking about a share buyback, which is, you know, pretty, like it's sort of saying they're in a very good position just to hand cash back to their shareholders. So,
hey, here's another big Aussie business, JB Hi-Fi.
Oh, yes. They've been complaining about or the at least analysts have been complaining about their share price dipping quite a fair bit over the past year. 7%, in fact.
And why has it dipped?
Well,
it is the season at the moment for financial results to be released, and JB Hi-Fi are blaming it squarely on
Apple, not BlackBerry.
No,
sorry, Michael.
I was going to say they're blaming it round, shiny, black, rectangly on Apple, not squarely, because no Apple products are square.
But
no.
Why is it Apple's fault? What has Apple done to target JB?
This is what they're alleging. They're saying that Apple products are too darn good and people aren't rushing out to replace them all the time, so they're hanging on to their iPads longer, or they're passing them on to their kids or whatever. So people are saying.
Oh, so a product that I'm selling isn't selling as well as I predicted, and therefore my earnings are down and my share price is down, and therefore it's the product's fault?
It sold just fine before. Mm. Now it's like, but why aren't you buying replacements right now? And it's this is what some analysts are suggesting anyway. So Liz Knight, who's one of the columnists over at Fairfax, had a big story about it, which we all read with interest, I think.
I've actually lost track of when Apple updates iPad hardware. Does it still happen at the start of the year, or is it the
end
of the year?
I think it's
around March, isn't it? Or April?
Oh, yeah, because it was the iPad Air came out around March, and the iPad with Retina. So here we are 6 months later, and they're saying, oh, people aren't buying these products. What are they buying?
Well,
there is, of course, the possible answer to that is Android tablets.
Well, yeah, we know that Android tablets are just, you know, selling, you know, like hotcakes.
Yeah,
I was going to say that, but I was actually just thinking about that as I was about to say. I actually don't know what selling hand over fist really means.
Oh, well, it's a visual thing for radio, so it doesn't quite work. But I mean, JB also sell Android tablets, so I don't know if I necessarily buy that as the only reason.
I think that's a good point because it would also show up in their share price, wouldn't it?
The other thing as well is that people are suggesting that maybe people they've got their iPads and stuff all sorted out, and they're turning their attention to other big ticket items, and maybe they're not things that JB Hi-Fi is traditionally very strong on. So they've mentioned, for example, TVs. And I mean, JB Hi-Fi do obviously sell TVs, but they're talking about enormous TVs, and that's actually quite a well-populated market there. And also someone else has mentioned the fact that maybe everybody's running out buying the new consoles.
Right.
So the next-gen consoles and stuff, and maybe that the iPad isn't the thing. But iPad sales apparently are a little bit mushy to begin with. So.
Well, they are, and people are saying that the push of phones towards larger screen sizes is really denting sales of things like the iPad mini, because you know, if you've got a phone that's, you know, 5.5 inches, why do you need a 7 or 8 or an 8-inch tablet?
Right.
Yeah, and Tim Cook recently said that, you know, it's talking about why the iPad sales were slowing down, and it was because, oh, yeah, we've got a lot of product there in the distribution chain that we're trying to get rid of. But this is obviously showing that, yes, there might be a product in the distribution chain, but it's there because there aren't consumers that are wanting to buy it.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Christmas is coming real soon. Real soon. I think that JB Hi-Fi will not have a lot to complain about over the next 6 months or so.
Do you reckon we might see some super cheap iPads at Christmas time?
Oh, gee whiz.
Now, what else have we got? Oh, there's some new tech. While we're on Australian soil, Apparently Australian scientists have created a water tractor beam.
So no, you just said a tractor beam. It sounds more yeah. Star Trek. They've created a tractor beam out
the
water.
The march to Star Trek technology is continuing. We are the entire world is going to follow into a Star Trek world.
We're starting to get universal translators. We've got medical scanners and stuff. Now it's time for the tractor beam.
Right,
people have also started creating transporter beams as well.
This tractor beam only works on water, though, so it's probably a little bit more like SeaQuest and less like Star Trek, I think.
Does that mean we get to have a cool dolphin?
SeaQuest, didn't that sink
the show? The actual vehicle sank several times in the show as well.
Yes, it was a submarine. That was the deal.
They kept rebuilding it.
This is a water tractor beam, so what you can do is, if you've got things that are sitting on water, is you can use this technology to change the currents and things around, to move things around on the water, and that's happening up at ANU in lovely landlocked ACT.
And they're looking at it for things like films on water. So if there's an oil spill, to be able to use the tractor beam to bring all of the oil slick towards one spot and be able to gather it up.
This is just proof that time travel doesn't exist, because otherwise we would have taken it back in time to the Gulf spill.
Imagine.
That reminds me of one of my favourite shows, where Big Bang Theory, where Sheldon says something about, and now we'll see whether there's time travel. He pauses for 3 seconds, looks to his side. No, doesn't exist. Keeps on going.
Very subtle there. We're talking tech here on Joy 94.9 with Technogaze, Mark, Michael, Jason and Rainer in the studio with you right now. We'll be back with more in a few moments.
Technogaze.
This is Joy 94.9. It's Mark here with Technogaze. It's also Rainer.
Hi.
Jason.
Jason. Struth.
Hello. That's his Don Burke impression.
Oh, give me a home among the gum trees.
And Michael pushing buttons.
Pushing everyone's buttons today.
Yeah, we
love it when you do that. Uber. It seems to be a favourite topic of ours, isn't it, Uber?
Uber. Well, everyone loves a nice ride in a plush black car or whatever.
It's a bit of a poster child
as long as it's not going through a tunnel in France.
Well, that's right.
Too soon? I don't think so.
I think
it's considered a product or an opportunity for people to use as a disintermediation.
Well, that and the sharing economy as well. So people are like, oh, wow, now that, you know, UberX, you can use your car and make a bit of money on the side as a bit of a fake taxi.
Regulations? A faxi. What's that?
Regulations? A facsimile faxi. No, what am I saying? Right.
We should coin new terms here on TechnoGaze.
No, I should just coin them. I do them all the time. I
know. Well, you keep insisting on this disintermediation word that no one else seems to like.
Rainer's actually pulled out her phone and is, in fact, looking up disintermediation.
No. I was looking to see if I still had the Uber app installed, but I don't. But okay, Uber, if you don't already know what it is, it's a service where, you know, there are black cars, so VHAs and stuff.
It's a car hire service.
Yeah, it's a car hire service, and you can hire regular people, and you sort of pull out the app, and you press a button, and people turn up, and you can pay for it all through the app. Sounds amazing, etc., except, of course, it runs into a lot of things to do with regulation, with safety, with, you know, stuff like that.
So I had a concern. I took an UberX ride in Sydney, and the guy nearly had an accident, and I was at that point, I was actually thinking, what actually happens to me if I'm in someone's car and he's an UberX and he has an accident? Who covers me?
Well, that's the thing. So, I mean, if you think about Airbnb as an example, I was thinking to myself one day, oh, I wonder what would happen if, you know, I went on holiday for a month or something and I wanted to Airbnb my room for a little bit of extra cash, right? Well, no, my insurance doesn't cover that.
No,
and if you are a driver of a car, I don't have a car, so I can't have I can't check on a policy. But I'm pretty sure that your policy doesn't let you, as a personal user of a regular car that is just yours, get away with that sort of thing. That's a bit of a
drama. Does Uber make any guarantees for the passenger?
I've no idea.
There are some, and I think it's developing over time as well. They are responding to issues that are coming up.
Right.
Over and over. And this is the whole thing of, hey, there might be a reason why regulations exist and have been developed over time in various jurisdictions, including our own.
I find we do, like, a lot of us on the internet as a whole, we do tend to take a dim view of, like, regulations on industries. And it's like, all this regulation, oh, it's just there to support old businesses, because that's what we've sort of been led to believe around the music industry and the film industry. But then when you get to things like the automotive industry, they're actually there there for a reason. It's not just protecting someone's
human,
old business
human
model.
Safety. Yeah. Now, speaking though of you know, how we feel about that sort of thing, well, you know, we also, as a general rule, internet people think that it's a little bit uncool to be unfair.
Yes.
But here's the allegation that's getting around about Uber. Mm-hmm. So Lyft, which is a similar service, except that the cars have pink mustaches on them if you want to go for a nice pink mustache ride. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get the joke? Yeah.
We got it.
No, I know.
I don't. Do you want to say pink mustache ride one more time?
Okay, so the cars have a mustache on them and you jump in the car and it's like a little bit cooler and funkier and all the rest of it. So you can use Lyft or you can use Uber or whatever. The folks over at Lyft are alleging, and they've been alleging this for some time, that people from Uber...
I think Mark's Googling mustache ride.
Oh, Mark. you're in a workplace, Mark.
Can you not Google that on Joy's Wi-Fi, please?
Yeah, you should.
Everyone not Google that.
Just actually make sure that you're logged into an incognito window when you do that. Otherwise, or it's going to go into your Google search history.
It's relatively...
I'm so glad I'm innocent and I have no idea what you're talking about.
No, exactly. But we're talking about fuzzy pink mustaches on the front of Lyft cars.
Lyft and Uber, yes.
Lyft is alleging that Uber business owners, like, you know, in various areas and stuff, are actually calling up and then cancelling cars to make the Lyft service look super dodgy by comparison.
Dirty tactics.
Dirty tactics, and also occupying, you know, free rides and stuff and then cancelling it at the last minute so that those drivers can't pick up legitimate fares. But, of course, all the Uber... And that's not even the only thing. I mean, if you read... I don't know if you guys read Pando Daily... but they've been doing a lot of coverage of Uber and some of their shonky behaviour and how related it is to some pretty shady practices.
So they've actually managed to wind up banned in Berlin, haven't they?
They have.
Yes. So according to the authorities over there in Berlin, they've introduced this ban on Uber as a whole. And I'm going to quote them here. Protecting passengers takes priority. As the supervisory and regulatory body, the Agency for Citizens Affairs and Public Order cannot tolerate that passengers are entrusted to unlicensed drivers or vehicles. Mm. And pointing out that, you know, when there is an accident, they are often not insured.
Yes.
It's pretty much the concern, you know, around the world.
Yeah. They've also been banned in Paris.
Oh, have they?
Oh, well, so they were banned by the Tribunal de Commerce. I'm just going to adopt a little French accent when I do that. And August the 1st, and told to change its invoicing system if it wished to continue operating there. And of course, there was actually a very large protest across Europe from taxi drivers protesting against Uber in June.
Right. Yeah. So in Europe, it seems to be. And I guess it's not surprising that Europe would be pushing against this type of thing where, you know, the US is perhaps a more of a free market, open it up to everyone type.
It's worth knowing that in Western Europe in particular, taxi drivers, not only are they fairly well regulated, but they are fairly well unionised. And when there is something that is a threat to their livelihood, they, of course, will fire up.
Right.
And that's the job of a union.
Yeah, you think about it here in Melbourne, there's not really a union of taxi drivers.
It's very precarious work, and a lot of drivers do say sometimes that they don't feel like it is okay for them to protest because they might lose their job. But you might remember a few years ago there were those protests that were happening here around safety, where a bunch of drivers just said stuff this, and they parked their cars right in the middle of the streets. Now that's the sort of behaviour that we're actually seeing a lot of in Europe around Uber. So there were things like that in London. There are things like that in Paris, etc.
Indeed. Well, always good to keep up with what Uber are up to anyway.
Ubers. Can we make that a jingle?
Keeping up with the Ubers.
Maybe not like that.
I was channeling Arbid and Community. Arbid and Troy and Arbid. Thank you very much. I was watching it last night. Right. Diversity.
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 Apple. I'm just going to say diversity again so that we've all said it.
Diversity. Yeah, a bit of a four-part harmony. That'd be pretty
good.
Oh, my
God, diversity now.
Right. diversity. So, obviously, a big thing in Silicon Valley lately has been chatting about, you know, how various companies have, you know, maybe some more white dudes in leadership roles and a few less people of colour or women or other sorts of minorities in various places of leadership or in technology or whatever. Lots of companies have been coming out with that sort of stuff. So I think we talked about Twitter recently being a bit of a white sausage fest.
Yes.
But Apple has popped its figures out.
Yeah.
And, they're not that surprising.
They do that in a once-a-year report, I think. So at least they're focusing on it, which it seems to be the trend these days in Silicon Valley anyway. Around.
Well, it's a good trend, I think, to actually talk about it openly and get amongst that. I mean, it's something that, you know, I work in that sort of industry, obviously, and being a woman in that sort of industry is not the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And there aren't so many of us in, especially doing technical things. Lots of women being, say, project managers or in marketing or whatever, and that's good. And we're just not seeing the same sort of representation.
On the tech side.
On the tech side. Yeah. Apple, of course, have a bunch of that stuff going on. So they've got retail, they've got, you know, marketing, they've got, you know, legal counsel and all those sorts of things that go along with a company. But obviously technology is a big deal there.
And I believe their retail presence has really helped their diversity rates because there are a reasonable number of women in the retail side. Now, I visited a Genius Bar this week and there was not one female Genius.
Right. See, I often go to a different Apple store that you go to, and I think I saw mostly women geniuses, so maybe they're all living west.
Could be. Oh, well, that's good to hear.
But here's a comparison, right? So VentureBeat sort of grabbed some of these figures and then started mushing them all together into a bit of a chart, and we're seeing, you know, even eBay, which is in tech positions in these top tech companies, so you've got Facebook, Google, LinkedIn, et cetera, eBay is the least... homogenous with 76% blokes.
Yeah.
That's still not that great.
No,
it's not that great.
Not good to be the least male-dominated tech positions.
Right.
And still be at 76%. You'd hope that it would get closer to 50 or even less. But Apple are next in line at 80%.
Yeah.
So we're talking about tech positions, which are the non sort of, you know, HR or...
Sure. I mean, they're still important because being represented in lots of different ways in all parts of the business are super important. The other thing that I thought was interesting that Apple was doing is rather than just sort of doing it in a nice little report and going, there you go, they've actually got a whole dedicated part on their website now at apple.com/diversity. There's a personal message from Tim Cook. Who, of course, is obviously pretty interested in a lot of those things. Apple themselves do a lot with equal rights and so on, and there's a nice video that talks about, all the different ways that diversity can help the business. So
it's a funny thing that, watch. Even the CEO and chair might be very focused on these issues and yet does it actually do anything to improve the numbers, you know?
I think in a long-term sense.
Yeah, long-term, I agree. Short-term is probably a bit hard.
Yeah. Seeing people in leadership positions take a proper stand on that is not the sort of thing that has you with, 30% ladies next week and 40% ladies next quarter or anything like that.
Yep.
It is, or any other
it's
sort
a,
of
It's a long game. It has to be.
It is. It's kids that are growing up now in school going, what do I want to do with my life? Seeing these role models in technology or in sport or in anything on in the press, in the media, anywhere. That are going to get the most from this always.
Exactly. It's sort of the 10, 11 and 12-year-old girls who need to be encouraged to move into science and related technologies.
You know, something great that happened this week, it's called Go Girl, Go for IT, and it's a big sort of... Because this is about the time of year where, young people are thinking about what they want to do with themselves at uni and, a lot of year 11s are picking their year 12 subjects or, finalising that. Year 12s are thinking about what uni they want to apply to and stuff. And Go Girl was held out at, I want to say Monash, but I might be wrong, because I didn't actually get to attend this time, although I did get to go a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I saw some amazing photos and there were some great talks and stuff like that. So if you ever get an opportunity to, if you are out there and you have daughters or you have sons, send your kids along to something like that just to see some of the things that are possible. It's amazing.
What you said about role models and being visible is very true. And this week in Australia, in fact, there was this Wikibomb festivity or group where 144 men and women, or women and men, got together to post Wikipedia entries to, share the role of female scientists amongst Wikipedia because they feel that Wikipedia is underrepresenting females.
Right.
So that's good. So anybody looking up Wikipedia will see more women there and hopefully get more encouraged to go into science-related fields.
I think it's pretty amazing. Wikipedia generally, I'm not super across what their diversity sort of figures are. But I know that in a very general sense, it is still quite, you know, bloke heavy when you're thinking about that sort of style of website.
So when you say Wikipedia, do you mean the Wikimedia Foundation or Wikipedia itself?
I mean Wikipedia editors. So, editors, you know, your common or garden person who rocks around and... Yeah.
But they're all volunteers anyway, aren't they?
Well, they are. But, I mean, when you say volunteers, you're also remembering that people only volunteer when they feel welcome to do so. And if you see something that is very bloke heavy and doesn't really represent what you're doing, maybe you're not going to feel like you want to be part of it.
And it might continue to attract the same type of people, rather than trying to attract a broader, you know, group of people to volunteer to edit.
Hey, I just had a tiny Google. Get this. 90% of Wikipedia's editors are male, according to a story in The Atlantic.
Wow.
90%. How many of them are bots?
Does a bot have a agenda?
It might have an agenda.
You're listening to Technogaze with the very bad puns. The wordplay.
Techno pun gaze.
Yeah, oh, God. We'll be back with more very bad puns after
That's guaranteed.
Technogaze.
Joy.org.au is the website to go to if you want to check out all of Joy's podcasts. So many podcasts. There's so much diversity to choose from.
Including our own.
Including,
and
yes,
pictures and news and stuff about competitions and all the information that you could possibly want to know about our lovely station.
Some updates about the music that we put into the playlists every week.
Yeah, especially daytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great resource if you want to just keep up with what's going on here at the station. Now, we were talking about Apple and their diversity before. Another part of Apple that's come up this week is around big tech companies conspiring against salary competition.
This has been a thing for a couple of years now, hasn't it?
There's been an ongoing sort of background story on this.
Actually, Pando call it Tectopus.
What?
Tectopus, as in octopus, but it's yeah, I know.
I thought I'd come up with that. Wow.
Yeah, that does sound like a Jason thing, doesn't it?
It does.
So this is the cartel?
Yeah, so it's where the companies, the big companies like Google, the likes of Google, Apple, I don't know if Microsoft was listed in there, but a whole bunch of them, but Apple and Google are the main ones, were essentially accused of stopping people from going from one company to the other.
Yeah,
so
they wouldn't hire from each other, or they wouldn't headhunt from each other, which I think that has probably gone by the wayside these days because, you know, there's a lot of concern about people going back and forth. There's been a couple of people who've left IBM and gone places and sort of ended up with, you know, no-compete clauses being enforced on them, things like that.
Yeah, I think that perhaps the fact that this has been shed, there's some light being shed on this. Is got something to do with it. But there was before a US court, there was a judge was asked to sign off on a $350 million settlement.
Yeah, and she was like, hell no.
Yeah.
We're going to knock that down, and that means that there might actually be a full trial now.
So apparently there's been substantial and compelling evidence that, in fact, the late Apple co-founder, Steve Jobs, was a, if not the central figure in the alleged conspiracy.
I read this. And I just thought, sure, you know, take a shot at the dude who can't defend himself. It's like, everyone can get together in their little shady back room and just go, who can we blame for this? Let's blame Steve.
Right, but do remember, it's not just Apple involved in it. Pixar is actually named as well, and there he was with a hand in both pots.
Sure,
and the flip side...
But yeah, you're right.
No, but the flip side is also the message saying that, you know, if you do this type of thing that is wrong, then you're going to pay the price even if you're around or not around.
Well, that's the thing. It's about Apple. It's not about Steve Jobs, the person. It is about Apple's... Dodgy business behaviour.
And there may well be evidence to show that this is... Like, there's been evidence around emails being sent from Steve Jobs to Eric Schmidt and so forth saying, makes me very happy when in response to a statement said around, you know, make sure that this person doesn't jump ship to that company.
And let's be clear, it's not just about, you know, a bit of a gentleman's agreement to say, oh, I'm not going to pinch this highfalutin executive from your company because it's the right thing to do and a good business thing. Mm. It actually has the effect of driving down wages, and it's not just high-class executives.
Yep.
It is, you know, right down to engineer level.
That's right. This story actually does come up with the words salary competition.
Right.
put up into it.
Depending on what source you read, they also write wage theft. It is that bad.
It's sounding like the copyright is theft, copyright is stealing argument. It's competition or wage theft, yeah.
Right. I don't know. Like, artificially doing things to drive down... artificially doing things to build up competition is no different to, you know, people from Uber calling up and faking calls to Lyft to make them look bad, all right? Yeah. Mm. Artificially limiting somebody's options about where they can be employed... And doing
especially when they don't even know that it's happening as well. It was a surprise to everyone when this came out.
Very shady. Mm. Very shady behaviour.
One part of me, though, does think, most tech engineers in Silicon Valley are probably paid quite handsomely.
I don't know if that's true anymore.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of executives are, let's be real, Silicon Valley is a bit of a ridiculous bubble. But again, we're talking about right down to the engineering level.
Mm.
So we're talking about developers like you or me or whatever.
Mm. And if this agreement extended across the whole of the corporation, these companies have got presences in more than just Silicon Valley.
Mm. Right.
They're all over the United States, all over the world.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And they're not necessarily going to be paid the same as they would be if they were situated in California.
Yep. Right. Well, time to take a break from the rantiness.
No, big business.
Big business sucks. Onto new technology and USB. Now,
we're going to talk about USB.
If you could have one feature of the USB spec changed, what would it be? Raina, your hand is up.
My request would be to be removing USB safely without having to press the stupid button. Life is too short to remove USB safely.
No. So can I just point out...
But the other one...
Certain file system types on USB, you don't have to actually unmount it, but the Mac doesn't care.
And so has a sook.
Yeah, every time you remove the USB disk, the Mac comes up with its little...
And the one thing, prompt. That error message is the most prominent, big red stop button.
Yeah, I've never seen any other big red stop button on a Mac before.
Yeah. It's it's really telling me that I'm doing something, really, really wrong. Yeah.
I really love seeing a stop sign after you've done the thing that you're supposed to stop doing.
The name of USB. Before you break my USB.
Okay, but second thing, when you go to plug in a USB cable, right, and you put it in one way and it doesn't work, so you turn it over and you put it in the other way and it doesn't work, so you put it in the third way.
And then you find out that you actually had it right in the first place.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, this is it.
This is it. So the new USB spec, it does have reversible plugs finally, because who thought that this wasn't a good idea in the first place? We've had, how long has USB been around for now? It's nearing 20 years, right?
Yeah. How many iterations of connectors do we have?
There's been four or five generations of them. So I plugged in a scanner at home the other night and I looked at the back and I'm like, oh my God, it's got one of those big square USB plugs. Do we all remember
the printer port ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so you've got those ones, and you've got the micro USB ones.
The micros and the minis.
Yeah, and so
they're pretty compatible with each other, aren't they?
Well, so they can generally, except for the ones that are physically incompatible. So micro USB plugs, it doesn't matter which generation of plug you have, you'll always be able to plug it into something.
Yeah.
But that's going to change now with this new standard. But it's kind of a change for the better anyway. So you get to replace all the USB plugs in your house with a new standard.
Yeah, and it's not just the shape of the plug, honestly. We do talk a lot about that.
It also supports better charging through the USB interface. So
yeah.
I think power's enough to power a laptop.
And 100 watts is what they're supposed to want to be able to support.
I could have my little space heater being run off that.
Yeah, we wouldn't actually need power.
Can we actually run Joy off a USB port with that?
Possibly. The transmitter is a little bit higher powered than 100 watts.
So we
have
get
two
one
USB
of those,
ports.
Yeah, one of those double cables that you used to get with hard drives.
A white cable.
Yeah, the double one that you plug it into the port. Oh, it's not giving me enough power. I'll plug it into another port. So the new USB spec is going to be reversible, because that sounds a lot like a certain Lightning connector that Apple started using a couple of years ago. That was one of its big things. It's a reversible connector. It doesn't matter if you're plugging it in the dark.
Hey, how about a round connector? So that way you don't have to orient it. You just plug it in.
Yeah.
Aww. Like coax cable or something.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'd suspect that would be limited in the number of pins.
No, but you know why they won't do a round connector?
Why is that?
If you look on the side of your Mac that's in front of you on the desk at the moment, you will find that the largest port on the side of your Mac, if you look at the side that I'm looking at, is the USB port. So the new USB port is actually smaller, which means that they can actually make lower profile computers as well.
Nice. Mm. Yay for Apple's aesthetic and the other companies that look at aesthetics, I guess.
Now, the question is, when is the EU going to allow everyone to come out with mobile phones with the new connector? Because right now, the EU say you can only sell a mobile phone with the micro connectors.
I believe it's just that it must have a compatible or non-proprietary adapter or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure what that means for iPhones then.
Well, so they've been selling iPhones with adapters to handle this in Europe for the last couple of years.
Is that why a person I saw on the train had an adapter on their... Does the iPhone have the USB style connector, or is it the
No. It has a Lightning connector, and they just have they put an adapter in the box with it.
Really?
Actually, yeah. I'm not even sure that they even put the adapter in the box. I think they just make the adapter available for sale, and that's good enough.
Right.
They did get an exemption to get around this. But I also just want to point out, while we're talking about USB plugs, micro USB 3 that is on some of the Samsung products this year. It's the worst plug ever. It's like two micro USB ports side by side, and it's an ugly connector, and it's wide and it's terrible. Bring on the new USB connector. Thank you. I'm done.
Oh, my goodness.
Ranty pants out.
Uh-huh. Can you believe I got ranty pants on over a USB plug? Uh-huh.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I believe you can.
Yeah.
Last but not least, we like to keep an eye on Windows XP and its proliferation across the market. And new figures have come out around it's still around, isn't it?
It is still around, unfortunately.
But
every week I see someone going, oh my God, my computer runs Windows XP. I used a computer at home that had Windows XP on it this week.
Mm.
It was wow. It was like terrible.
I had to do some instruction at work this week in a teaching lab that still had a Windows XP machine.
They're teaching well, aren't they?
No.
We're teaching you to upgrade your operating system, not...
All the student computers had Windows 7.
Ah. The teachers had 7?
Only the teacher had XP.
So
and apparently only 25% of us now.
Yes.
Not teaching staff, I mean in general.
In general.
Which 25% of you?
Across the population, 25% is where the numbers have gone to.
Thank you.
Windows 8 is at 12.5%. And how long has Windows 8 been out now?
Ages.
Who cares?
Quite a long time.
It's Windows 8.
Windows 7 is at 51%.
Yay.
Yeah, Windows 7. I like Windows 7.
I think it seems to be the iOS of choice now.
Chair back up, Michael? For Windows 7? Thanks.
The figure that amazes me is Vista, 3%.
Which
that
is still...
That doesn't amaze me.
I'm surprised they sold that many.
But still twice as many as Linux.
True.
On the desktop, I guess.
Oh.
Will it ever be your year?
No, every year is the year of Linux on the desktop.
Oh, it's finally going to happen.
You're trying to make Fetch happen.
You're listening to TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We're coming to the end of the show. It's 4 minutes to one. We'll be back with a wrap-up of the show in a few moments.
TechnoGaze. Joy 94.9.
TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where it's coming to the end of our weekly hour of tech nerdery.
Let's talk quickly then.
Now, if you are a monkey,
right,
and you happen to take someone's camera, and you happen to take a photo of that camera, which is a very, very funny.
They are really good photos.
It's a famous couple of photos.
We're talking about a selfie. In fact, the monkey was smart.
The monkey selfie, the Milky.
Figure out how to hold that camera up and click the button and. He's got this massive grin on his face. Now, who owns the copyright to that photo?
It's actually a lady monkey.
Well, according to Wikipedia, that lady monkey owns the copyright to the photo.
They
can't remove it until they get an order from that person to...
Oh, how can a monkey own copyright?
But this is the thing. So this
Have
is
you
actually,
seen Microsoft's patents?
This is actually how it works in Australia, though. Like, unless you're actually commissioned to do some work, if you in Australia have a camera in your hand and you take a photo, you are the owner of the copyright, even if it's not your camera.
So if a rock falls onto the camera shutter button and takes a photo, the rock owns the photo?
Well, obviously. I don't know, but I think these are pretty amazing pictures. You should look them up on Wikimedia.
We might tweet a link to that, I think.
Yes. That's all we have time for today. If you missed any part of the show, or perhaps you would like to peruse previous episodes, you can do so by texting? No, you browse to joy.org.au/technogaze.
Do we have our WAP portal up?
No, we do not.
Coming up is Cravings with Pete Dillon. Thank you, Jason, for coming in. Thank you, Raina, as well.
Welcome.
Always.
Thank you, Michael, for pushing buttons. Catch you next week.
Techno Gaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.